Welcome to Hard On Podcast, the podcast that's not a link, but how you use it. Yeah. Jay? Jay, come in here.
Hey.
There's no one here.
That is depressing.
I'm just gonna go. God damn it. It's funny every time. It's not the first time we've done that.
It's funny, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
What's up?
How are you?
What's up, baby boy?
It's the freaking weekend, baby.
About to have us some fun.
Yeah.
It's the hour of fun I get, and it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks, but it's Friday night, and I feel all right.
It's Knicks. The Knicks are bad. Is that it? Friday night? Friday night Knicks. What's the Friday night Knicks song? It sounds like the Price Chopper barbecue song.
Price Chopper, house of barbecue.
Yeah.
I put the laugh in there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's time. I'm very excited. A lot of things have happened since the last time we met. Basketball season has started. So excited.
Yeah.
Watching the Knicks currently get their asses handed to them by the Nets of New Jersey.
Yes.
Formerly
of New Jersey.
Now of the lesser borough of Brooklyn.
I mean, Brooklyn's cool. I like Brooklyn. But
whatever. You wouldn't have liked Brooklyn 15 years ago, Sean.
Fair enough.
You like it now.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I digress. I digest. Sir, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, it's been a while.
We're coming up quick on...
200.
Yeah.
We are.
Very quick. I was going to say the Middletown premiere.
Oh, yeah,
but that's in like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. 4 weeks. That's 4 weeks from today.
It really is. Yeah, last night we finished the score.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to me, and Derek, as he was leaving, that we were talking about how quickly it goes now. Like, mm-hmm. we've been doing this a long time, and, you know, the first time, it took a really long time. It took us a while to figure out our way, both technically and artistically. It was this whole thing. But, like, every time, it's gotten faster and faster every time. So last night we wrapped, and we were walking out to the parking lot together, and I was like, dude, it just seems like we just started this. And he goes, I think the first time I saw any footage was a year ago. And we kind of were bullshitting. And I was like, dude, I bet you it was a year ago. Because I was thinking like, oh, yeah, we just had like mm-hmm. 3 or 4 solid weeks of filming. And I knew we were coming up on a break because Justin had gotten hurt.
Right.
And I was like, all right, let me just look at this. And it was a year ago today.
No shit.
He was 364 days on target.
It took a year.
Yeah, but I mean, we didn't work for a year. It just like from the first time he saw it until
but
last
still,
night.
But still, that's just crazy how that happened. It's the same way with how we did the day of ADR. Was the day in the movie that we did?
The reunion
takes place. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. There's a lot of fun little stuff. But anyway,
yeah,
yeah. So,
do you believe in stuff like? Is that like fate? Is that the universe speaking to us?
Nah, maybe this is all. I don't really believe in anything. I just believe that when this whole thing is over, and I'm really angry. I'm like, I was supposed to fucking work because the last day of the score was
a year
after.
Aligned.
Yeah, fuck the stars. Nah. No, that's okay. It was so that's what I've been up to. I've just been knee deep in movie stuff. What have you been up to for 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
I recorded a part in an audio drama.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It was a small part.
What is this about? What's happening?
It's like a supernatural type radio drama. It actually is starting this week. It's dropping this week.
It's a podcast?
It's a podcast, yeah, radio drama podcast.
Wow, where did you hear about this?
Some folks that I did a play with.
Wow,
we're like, hey, would you?
We've heard your dickery jokes on Hard On Podcast.
Yeah, could you do a small little role in our radio drama
with that curmudgeon?
And I was like, yeah, I'd be happy to. So I think we're going to drop an ad for their show in this episode.
Oh, all right. Like right now.
No,
all
right.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I just wanted to have that dissolve. Good.
Either at the end or at the beginning. Who knows? Who knows?
Who knows?
I don't know yet.
Well, congratulations. Have we had a podcast since you moved into the house?
No. I think that's another reason why we haven't recorded.
Yeah.
It's because I'm a homeowner again.
New house.
This is exciting. New house.
Back in the dam.
You helped me pick up a table and chairs.
Yeah, I really slacked off. I totally missed moving day.
It's okay. It's all good. We were joking, though, as we were bringing the last big piece of furniture into the house.
Here he comes.
We were like, he's literally going to pull up as we set this thing down. And you fucking rolled right up.
I really did.
Like, and I was like, well, you can come with me to take the U-Haul back. And
well, we went and got a table.
And we went and got the table. And we fucking cracked wise the whole time at the couple because they gave us an audience.
Yeah, we did. We cracked wise. Like, and then, like, not too long afterwards. Oh, fuck.
They're, like, laughing at everything we say. Let's just keep talking.
Yeah, so we told them with the podcast, like, if you're having fun now, you should check us out on hardonpodcast.com.
Yeah, word of mouth is really the best form of advertising for podcasts.
Yeah. There's 200 hours of this wisecrackery. Yeah,
well over 200 hours.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Just come and check that shit out.
Days and weeks of
weeks of
content.
Oh, God. It was funny. One of your friends was there helping you move, and when I came in, we had that uncomfortable moment where he was like, hey, and you're like, oh, yeah, he listens to the podcast, and I was like, shit.
Oh, yeah. So he already, it's like, yeah, he was so many steps ahead of you.
I felt so bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not that big of an asshole in real life, just on the podcast. I have to be your foil in real life, in the podcast, but in real life, maybe I'm not that big of a dick. I don't know. Maybe that's not true.
So next week,
mm-hmm.
This week,
what?
Depending on when you
help
listen to this. No, this week is Halloween.
Oh, Halloween is upon us.
Yes, it is here.
Fall is in the air. The leaves have changed colors. Football, unfortunately, is back in full force. But so is the NBA. Right. So yes. Still dark out when I'm in the shower. Mm-hmm. And that can only mean one thing, sir. It means that the day of the ghouls is upon us.
Yes.
Mooha, as they say.
What's your like go to Halloween schedule, I guess? Because your kid's getting older.
She is.
Does she give a shit about Halloween as much?
She does. And I think we have maybe approximately three of those left, maybe two. So no, she loves it. You know, she's a big fan of candy and shit, so you know, we're going to go. We're going to hit the streets.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're going to hit the streets.
Good shit.
I think maybe next year will be the last one, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I just take every day as it
comes.
Hey,
stop by. I'm stocked up. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, okay, so historically my neighborhood is great for this because it's segregated from the rest of the city.
It is. Totally different place.
Totally different place. So everybody there's like this little kind of neighborhood pride thing. You could catch a few full-size candy bars for the locals. That's all I'm saying.
Gotcha. Yeah, you know? I feel you.
2 years ago, they opened up this pedestrian bridge across the river.
Yeah.
And they moved the events. Like, they had this giant Halloween event on the bridge. So people were coming into my neighborhood, like, en masse, parking, and then going to the bridge. So like 2 years ago, we're trick-or-treating, there's nobody in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
All the lights on, all the way down the avenues, nobody in the streets. So we're getting like buckets full of candy.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had to go home and get additional shopping bags. It was that bad because these people had nobody to give the candy to. They're just like, take this candy.
Just take it, yeah.
So we thought the following year, like, you know, fish in a barrel, as they say. Here we go. Went back out. And people just didn't turn their lights on.
Because they were like, well, fuck it.
I'm not spending $40 on Kit Kats, on shareable Kit Kats, when, you know, the bridge is the spot to be.
Well, yeah, I think they're like, slowly getting rid of regular trick-or-treating.
Now it's all trunk-or-treat and
trunk-or-treat, yeah, because parents think it's safer.
So
you can get
stupid,
it, like,
man. So dumb.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, it's the... I remember the again.
Now do it,
Grandpa.
Do it.
Fucking
do it,
Uncle Trenchy over here.
Do it, do it.
I remember being pissed because they made us wear glow sticks, and being like, "Fuck this!
Yeah,
fuck these glow sticks." Am I right, boys? And all my hoodlum friends were like, "Yeah, right, right.
Yeah,
see?
He's right. Yeah,
you want to smoke, Johnny? You know,
listen to this guy. I got a pack of smokes in my trick or treat bag.
Yeah, exactly." And now it's so far beyond that. Like, these kids are walking down the street illuminated
Yeah.
You know,
well, when I was a kid, the big thing was reflectors.
Oh, yeah.
Having reflectors on your clothes and having the Mylar fucking bags.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like reflective, shiny fucking
bags. Yeah, Donnie Road Cone bags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. We didn't have any of that shit. We just went out with vision obstructing plastic masks and yep. vinyl costumes uh-huh. that came in a box with a circle in the front with the mask, you know?
Yep.
And we went out into the streets like savages, very young. Our parents didn't give a shit. I came from a generation where the parents were like rebelling still as adults against their parents who were very strict. So we get to do whatever the hell we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But now we swung the other way. And now, you know, everything yep. is trunk or treat, which mm-hmm. just drives me like, walk in the fucking neighborhood you live in and go get candy. It's
right.
the whole
like,
point.
I can understand the not taking like homemade shit.
No, don't take homemade shit.
Yeah,
that's stupid.
I get it. I get that. Like, because when I was a kid, I had a cousin who is much older than I am, but she would give out popcorn balls. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
No, don't do that.
But like, well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, yeah, you're not, you know, you might do a good job, but like, you don't know what fucking people are putting in their shit and how fucking grummy it is and nasty. And like, I get that. It's when, you know, Johnny can't go door to door because like he has maybe social anxiety or something. It's like, oh, I need to go to the trunk or treat shit.
Yeah.
It's like, there's
I know
a,
all
there's
those
a,
people.
There's a social aspect of like trick or treat.
You
get to
you
meet people.
Fucking get
you
together with your friends.
Yeah.
You rendezvous with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You hit the streets for 2 hours.
Yeah.
You have 120 minutes to gather as much garbage as you
right.
can.
Trunk or treat, everybody's getting the same shit.
Exactly. And you're yeah. on the same parking lot. It's not fun. You're just hanging out and like on a bullshit play date.
And the rest of the city's fucking dead.
Fuck
sleeping.
Off.
It's there's
no.
something cool when like street.
Oh, there's
lights.
A light on over there.
Yeah.
Like,
oh
what,
fuck,
what,
let's
what,
go
what?
Over there.
Do we hit this one already? Do we miss this?
Yeah. But then there's like, oh shit. Like we gotta circle back because the good house is up there. Like I know we can get 3 or 4 more houses on this street, but I'm telling you, we go to that one house,
yeah,
it's gonna be worth
it's
it.
Worth it.
It's gonna be totally worth it.
There's a house. We don't usually travel. That's not true. Sometimes we do. So we go up to this neighborhood where my girlfriend's cousin, his family grew up and shit. And he's mm-hmm. got a daughter who's a few years older than mine. So like we would go up there and they would trick or treat together. There's a house up there that is the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's the coolest house, and I want to be this house. It's unfortunate that I live in a neighborhood next to a tourist attraction, so no one's ever going to come to my house. But this house,
right?
You walk up, it's lit up like a Christmas tree. There's like festive lights, like orange and black and purple lights everywhere. There's like shit on the house. You go up, they're giving out full-size fucking candy bars.
Yeah.
And there's a bar on the front porch where they're pouring alcoholic hot cider for
wow.
the parents, giving you solo cups. Everybody gets one. Have a great time. Enjoy your walk.
Wow.
See you later. It's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
You're freezing. Right? Mm. You're freezing. It's so cold. Usually in the great Northeast, it's cold on trick-or-treat night.
Yeah.
I've been walking for hours, you know? You get there. It's like
city of hills,
dude,
on top of that.
Yes, we live in a hill town, in a valley. You get there, and it's like an oasis in the desert. They usher you in. They're not playing Monster Mash. They're playing some, like, decent music.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are happy because they've got, you know, 11 inches of Kit Kats.
Got a king-size fucking bag of M&M's.
A shareable Twix.
Yeah.
And they're like, holy shit. And they're looking over, and you have that same expression because these...
You're like, I know, right?
These generous bastards are pouring you a styrofoam cup full of a hooch to keep you warm. Enjoy the rest of your night. We appreciate what you do. Have fun with the kids. Thank you.
Fucking great.
Holy shit. You know? That's all I'm talking about.
That's all gone.
Girl I work with just bought a house in a couple towns over from here. And I was telling her, like, hey, is there a lot of kids and shit? She's like, yeah, there's a lot of kids in the neighborhood. And she's young, and she's just like,
right.
I'm not fucking down with all that. My advice, full-size candy bars, year one. Those kids will protect your house from eggs and toilet paper because you will be the cool neighbor, you know?
Yeah.
You know that you're the mid-20s, good-looking couple. They're going to respect you. They're going to respect what you're doing. You come at them with some bullshit. She said she was going to put a bucket of candy on her front porch.
Oh, fuck that. It should be gone first kid.
First kid. It's going to be like, fuck these people.
Yeah. And then you're fucked. Because then you have a bowl of empty candy on your
front
porch.
I am captain now.
Yeah.
That's what they'll say.
Right.
The first one grabs it, turns to the other kids. I am captain now. I'm like, okay.
All right. Fuck.
Take it easy.
We used to go full-size candy bars at our last house because we only got a fucking handful
middle
of trick-or-treaters. Yeah. We'd get maybe 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I'd still have all this extra shit.
Yeah, no.
Our neighbors gave us heads up. They're like, hey.
Right.
They're like, because we asked. We're like, hey, Halloween's coming up. How many trick-or-treat? They're like, we could get 200-300 kids.
Dude, listen to me.
I ran the math. It would have cost me $1,100. $300.
Okay.
To do full-size candy.
Now, listen.
Bars.
I know where you're coming from. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to say to you right now,
yeah,
I'm going to appeal to young Sean.
Oh, no. I really considered it.
Number one,
uh-huh,
you're going to be a hero in these children's eyes. You're not going to miss $300 a year from now. You're not going to miss it. If you give chintzy horse shit away, you're going to blend in these on these kids' radars. They're not even going to think about it. But if you have one good year, your first year, you're going to make an impression. They're going to protect you. They're going to... A lot of bad shit happens on Halloween.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to happen to your house.
Doesn't have to.
Every kid that comes to your door, you hand them a full-size Snickers, you look them in the eye, happy Halloween, buddy. Those kids fucking remember that.
Yeah.
Those kids are going to take care of you as you get older. They're going to shovel your walk when they don't need to. They'll be like, oh, yeah, Mr. and Mrs. fucking Barnes down there. Shovel the walkway. We'll take care of them. Not a big deal. Do you remember when they used to give out? They'll always remember as when you used to. Remember when it happens one year. That's all they need. You're making an impression as they're young. And one of their punk-ass, meth-smoking fucking 14-year-old friends shows up with a carton full of rotten eggs. They're going to get a hand in front. Hey, no, not there.
Not that house.
Next door. Fuck those people. Not these people. That couple's cool. One year, one investment. That's all you need to make. It's part of it. It's a new house.
Dude.
It's a new life.
I'm with you.
At least, buy some. Take your chances. Pepper in the full sizes. Maybe ask some questions. Where are you from? You from the neighborhood?
You from around here? Yeah. You live on Rockton? Yeah, here you go, man.
Rockton special.
Mm.
And maybe, big maybe, that house I was talking about, other side of town. You got a front porch.
I do.
Maybe you set up a card table with a little hooch.
Maybe you put a little jug out there.
Maybe you put a little fucking jug out there, Sean. And all of a sudden, welcome to the neighborhood, Mr. and Mrs. Barnes. Welcome.
I feel you, man. I do.
You have an opportunity to set a precedent right now. An opportunity that I wanted to have,
mm-hmm,
but I couldn't. It was taken from me. So here it is.
I'm your redemption.
Don't blow this. Let me live for me, Wyatt.
You've inspired me.
Goddamn right I have. I inspired me.
We put lights up. I've never put Halloween lights up before, but I did.
I wish there was one strand of lights.
It's like 8 miles long. It just did everything.
But it did everything. Yeah. You could just, and you know, flip a switch and all the, I mean, they're all LED.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. Like,
oh, you mean, and then boom, they're Christmas lights. Like literally the next day, you just switch
green and red,
over.
Purple and orange, and then flip the switch, and then green and red, and then, you know, they're like, oh, look, they got Easter lights up, you know, pastel colors. Why couldn't you do that? You could 100% do that.
Sure. You 100% could do that.
Somebody needs to do that for me.
Well, it's next week. I am digging your idea. Maybe I'll put like coffee out. There's no way in hell Kieran will be cool with me putting hooch out.
Okay, let me say this then.
Sure.
Put the coffee out.
Uh-huh.
Be bold. Bring a little Sambuca, a little Kahlua.
Right. Like, listen, I got a little Kahlua here if you're interested.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And you put up a sign and it says, coffee for parents, coffee plus for cool parents. And then you'll have parents be like, hey, I'm a cool
and then
parent.
And then I find the one fucking like cop parent.
Dude.
They don't give a shit.
They don't give a shit. There's no shits given. Come on. I'm talking about this shit. We've done it like 3 years in a row. It's amazing. Mm. That those people are fucking saints. They're saints. It's great. It's a great move. Small town. It's cold.
Yeah.
If you think, and you'll see this someday, you know, you'll have kids and you'll be walking around the streets and you'll see, I had no idea this was real, but parents are 100% drinking walking through the streets. 100%. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Passing flasks, little airplane bottles. They're giggling. That's what they do. That's the only way they get through it. It's hours of walking in the dark.
Right, with your kids. You're trying to make sure they don't die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's stressful. Hey, don't eat that Starburst. I don't know that lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, just take the edge off.
All right. You talked me into it.
Thank God. I'm going to come up there. I'm going to check on you.
I hope you do.
Because now you don't live off a fucking highway like a weirdo. Now I can actually come to your neighborhood.
You have to take side streets to get to my side street.
Yeah. I'm comfortable with that.
But no. So you think you're going to trick-or-treating though?
Yeah.
You're still you're going out?
Yeah.
Do you dress up?
Dude. The day that you moved, I told my daughter that I was going to take her to the costumer, right?
Yeah.
To buy a Halloween costume. She's been on me forever. She really, really wants like legit Harry Potter costume. Okay. Problem is that nobody makes a Hufflepuff costume. Whatever.
Right. But it's all Gryffindor, man.
It's all Gryffindor.
Yeah.
You catch some Slytherin.
Sure.
Nary a Ravenclaw or Hufflepuff to be found.
Right.
So we go to the costumer, which is like the big...
That's the place.
It's the big one in our neck of the woods and in the greater capital region is, you know, the costumer on Central Ave. So we go to the costumer. The front is packed because it's like, you know, the beginning of October. Pull around back. There's a goddamn party happening. There's a guy. There's a band. Uh-huh. There's food trucks. Like, what is happening, right? So all this commotion. So we get out of the car. Turns out that the executive producer of my first movie runs the costumer now.
Oh, no shit.
And she's like, holy shit. I'm like, hey, what's up? She's like, we're having a yard sale, a garage sale of sorts. Knock yourself out. There's racks of costumes of all sorts of, you know, vampire capes, hats, fucking just crazy, crazy shit, boxes of shit, you know, fake hands, all this shit, right? Mm-hmm. I look over, there's a box and it's got a mascot suit, a tiger mascot costume.
Yeah.
And it says $5.
No.
And I yelp like a child. I go, is that fucking thing $5? And this lady goes, I'll tell you what, not only is that thing $5, and she hands me a giant box.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, you fill this box for $5.
Wow. They weren't fucking around. They wanted to get rid of shit.
And she wanted to give me more mascot costumes, right? So I'm like, yep, I'll take the bunny. There was a full-on Easter bunny, like mall quality Easter bunny.
Yeah.
I want that too. She's like, awesome. What else can you fit in the box? Like everything. So
all of it.
I'm looking for
a great
shit.
Folder.
I find some shit. A couple of beer cans. I found a Coors Light beer can costume, a Miller Genuine Draft beer can costume, a giant strawberry. So I find all this shit, and then she grabs me. She's like, "Hey, listen, there's a family here that really wants that Easter bunny costume. Are you super sold on it? Like, you really gonna take it?" And I'm like, I look over, and his family's like, who's looking at me? I'm like, just give him the fucking costume.
He said, fuck those people.
I'm like, yeah. Hey, my man, come here. My man. No, but I gave him the Easter bunny, but I kept the tiger. I kept the tiger costume. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. It's an amazing. The whole thing is amazing.
You've had this on several times?
I've put it on. When I first came home, I put the head on. I walked in the house.
Right.
Both of my cats literally shit and ran. Like, predator! And they ran. Literally, two cats shit and ran. Fucking explosive. Like you know how the rhino shit, like in the video where the rhino's shitting and the tail is spinning?
Yeah.
That's happened.
That's what happened?
Yes, in my kitchen. So, amazing. I've been threatening my daughter. I say, like, you know, listen, if you're much later for school, I'm going to put the tiger costume on and walk you down the fire lane. She's like, no. Like, it's become currency. It's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible.
That's fucking great, man.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about wearing that in the streets.
I really hope you do.
Yeah.
So I'm debating if I wear something to pass out candy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Why not, right? Fuck it.
You should.
Right?
When was the last time you dressed up?
Dude, I don't know. I do not know the last time I dressed up for Halloween.
You gotta.
I should.
Go do it.
Fuck it.
Go up to Spirit Halloween.
Yeah, right. See what they got.
See what they got. They got a lot of cool shit.
I'm thinking about going up there and actually seeing if I can get some sort of like entryway.
Oh,
yeah. Like for my front.
You fancy.
Yeah. Because I have lights up and shit. And there's like from like scarecrows and things. Apparently the guy who used to live in our house went all out.
Set a precedence.
Like he set a fucking precedent. I don't know what his candy game was like, but he fucking put like fog and shit.
Okay.
And, you know, zombies and stuff.
Okay, Brian.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm really worried I'm going to have to live up to that. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I got to do something. The kids don't know I just moved in.
Nope.
I could have been there for fucking 6 months for all they know.
Expectations.
Yeah. Absolutely. I thought about, like, I saw, like, the light up. You can put, like, eyes on your house and shit. And I saw those. And I was like, well, that shit doesn't really look that good because, you know, you have fucking like windows and shit and it looks weird and stuff like that. But then I looked at my house and I was like, fuck, I have like the roof over my front porch and it fit perfectly.
We could do some shit to the house.
Yeah.
I have a projector right there unhooked. No, we could
that
do
is true.
We could flip it. We could put it like
in the window.
In the window.
So like there's shit in the window.
Yeah, shit's happening. Yeah.
We got a week.
We got a week. We got tons of time. It's tons of time.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Right, we're going to have to figure that shit out.
I literally have nothing else going on.
There's literally nothing else to do.
No.
Why the fuck not?
Yeah, let's tart your house up for Halloween.
That'll make up for my fun size candy as opposed to the.
Just don't do it.
Sean. Listen, I already bought the candy. I didn't have the heart to tell you, Jay, but the candy's
bring the
been
candy
bought.
Here, Sean.
Candy's been bought.
Okay, so you spent $11 on candy. That's called.
I spent $70 on candy.
That's too much.
I bought
bullshit
good
candy.
Candy.
No. No.
Yeah.
Sean, quality. Mm-hmm. Over quantity.
Yeah, it's quality. You're saying quantity is the issue. You're saying quantity over quality is what
no,
you're saying.
I'm saying quality.
Yeah.
I'm saying give out full-size candy bars.
Here's what I'm saying. Bigger is better.
Yes.
Is the so idiom you're looking
for. Years. Yeah. Okay.
In the spirit of Halloween.
Okay, Sean.
All right, Jay. Okay. All right. All right, Jay.
Okay.
In the spirit of All Hallows Eve, as they say.
Devil's Night.
Devil's Night,
fire
yes.
Fire it up.
I wanted to tell a story, a kind of scary-ish story.
Spooky.
About a murder that happened in Kansas City.
Oh.
Yes. In 1935.
Do you want a drink?
I do.
Okay, hang on. Yeah, okay, Vamp, tell me.
This break is brought to you by...
Seldom do most of us witness a truly perfect night in our short lives. One where the stars are in just the right spots across that endless indigo above. When the crescent moon lights up just enough of the earth to inspire wonder, but not enough to dull the mystery of the darkness. Well, shadow people, the night that's now fallen over the town of Salem might be the very night we've been waiting for. And I'd like to thank you for staying up to experience it with us while we explore the latest encrypted news, supernatural technologies, species politics, and more. The time is 11:30 p.m., just half short of the witching hour. And we're ready to kick off the night for all you nocturnals out there. I'm Cheryl White, and this is the Shadow Dispatch.
Hey, what is this? German-style ale by Saranac.
It's Halloween, so...
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're not a beer drinker. What are you doing?
I just kept them in there for you.
Wow, that's awfully sweet of you. I don't have a bottle opener. But
well, you're a smoker, so use your lighter.
Oh, right.
There you go.
I do have my wedding ring. It hurts, though. If I do it wrong, I fucking cut the shit out of my finger.
Oh, it hurts. Let's see if he does it wrong. Oh, he did it wrong. Oh, there's blood. Oh, we have a serious issue.
I'm going to need you to call my wife.
All right, let's see. Hang on. Is he going to do it? This is the worst podcast. There, he got it. Oh, smooth. That first one, not so much.
Got it.
There's a pinch and a scratch and a little blood. Nice job.
There's a little bit of a scratch, but it's all right.
All right.
He's okay.
Ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Are you hooked up to, should we have some music playing?
You want to play some? Okay, I'll put some over top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or underneath.
Yeah, underneath. Okay.
All right. This is the story of the murderer, the murder in room 1046.
Okay.
Are you familiar?
Okay, Sean. No.
The mystery of what happened in room 1046 of the Hotel President remains unsolved to this day. Oh, I like that. The mystery of what happened in room 1046 of the Hotel President remains unsolved to this day, despite endless files of evidence. Just to give credit, this is a website called allthat'sinteresting.com.
Okay.
I'm also getting information from AL.com.
Al.
Which is Alabama. Actually, Alabama.com.
All right.
He had no luggage besides a comb and a toothbrush.
And asked wait. True story?
True story. This is 100% true.
Okay.
I feel like the shit's only really scary if you at least have a...
That's it. You have to say it's a true story.
It has to be a true story. And then changes fucking everything.
Absolutely.
And feel free to interject at any time.
Okay.
All right. So he had no luggage besides a comb and a toothbrush and asked for an interior room on a high floor of the hotel. He checked in under the name of Roland T. Owen and complained to the bellboy about the outrageous prices of a neighboring hotel. After checking in and receiving his room, room 1046, on the 10th floor, he left the hotel only to be seen intermittently throughout his stay. Pretty normal shit. Dude checked into the hotel, was like, hey, that fucking hotel down the way is expensive. And he's like, yeah, fucking bellboy's like, yeah, you're telling me. Though the man's behavior struck the President Hotel staff as odd, they didn't think much of him. After all, the hotel often played host to out-of-towners and businessmen looking for some late-night company, and the less the staff got involved, the better.
Okay.
This is a fucking hotel. Like, people go here to fuck. Like, I'm in Kansas City, I'm business. Nobody's going to Kansas City for pleasure. No way. You know, so you try to make as much fun of it as you can, I guess.
Yeah. Get your swerve
on. You ever been to Kansas City?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you have any memories of what the... I mean, obviously, this was the 30s, so it's a different city.
Jesus, John.
But
hey, Grandpa, what was Kansas City like in the 30s?
Can you tell me what that city was like?
Prohibition didn't matter in Kansas City in the 30s. The women were loose and the rye flowed like the salmon of Capistrano.
Well done.
Go on.
The staff wouldn't give... I'm paraphrasing as much as I can here.
Okay.
I don't want to fucking be that guy who's just reading the article, but I'm worried that that's what I'm doing.
No, it's interesting.
The staff wouldn't give his behavior another thought until 6 days later when the man turned up dead. His hotel room, a brutal bloodbath.
Oh.
As they described to the police the brutal scene, questions arose about the man's behavior prior to his death, bringing to light just how strange the behavior had been. On January 3rd, one day after Owen checked into the hotel maid, Mary Soapdick... Soapdick. The hotel maid, Mary Soapdick, stopped by to clean his room. It was around noon and most of the hotel's residents were out for the day. However, upon reaching Owen's room, Soapdick found the door to be locked from the inside. She knocked and Owen opened the door. After insisting she could come back later, Soapdick eventually entered. She found the room in almost complete darkness, with the shades tightly drawn and only light coming from a small, dim table lamp. So she comes in here, completely pitch black room, except a fucking, like, dim it kind of looks like in here.
Yeah.
Except no hallway light. Off. You know what I mean? Just one little light.
Should and, I turn all the other lights
and
off?
And dude's just sitting there.
I feel like I should turn all the other lights off.
You think so?
I feel like it.
Do you want to get the vibe going in here?
Should we?
Go for it. Okay. I'll read the next part while you go around
okay.
and turn
okay,
all the shit off.
Go ahead.
Just to get the vibe here. All right. As she cleaned, Owen mentioned that he had a friend coming to visit him shortly. And would she mind not locking the door? Soptic agreed, and Owen left the room. So you got that, right? So as she cleaned, she left the door open, and he left the room.
Okay.
4 hours later, Soptic returned to room 1046 with fresh towels. She found the door still unlocked from when she had cleaned the room that afternoon. And upon entering, found Owen lying fully clothed on top of his still-made bed, seemingly asleep. A note beside his bedside table read, "Don, I'll be back in 15 minutes. Wait." I'd like to point out that Jay just turned every fucking light off, even the hallway light. And we're in a fucking closed-down mall. Like, nothing is more scarier than a dark room than a really big dark room.
Yes.
Do you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like the ocean. That's why the ocean's scary in fucking outer space. It's like, if it's big and dark, it's way more terrifying than small and dark. I'd rather be in a small, dark closet than a big, like, dark gymnasium.
Right. There's room, yeah.
Yeah, there's room for things to get around. If I can reach out and touch the walls, I know
not
I'm alone.
Not fun.
So I you were outside, so did you catch what I had said?
No.
All right, so 4 hours later, Soptic returned to room 1046 with fresh towels. She found the door still unlocked from when she had cleaned the room that afternoon, and upon entering, found Owen laying fully clothed on top of his still-made bed, seemingly asleep. A note on his bedside table read, "Don, I will be back in 15 minutes.
Oh.
Wait." The next morning, January 4th, Soptic's strange interactions with room 1046 continued. Around 10:30 a.m., she stopped by to make the beds and found Owen's door to be locked from the outside, as it would be when patrons left. Assuming Owen was not inside, she opened the door with her master key. To her surprise, Owen was sitting inside, in the dark, in the chair in the corner of the room. As she cleaned, the phone rang, and Owen picked up. "No, Don. I don't want to eat. I'm not hungry. I just had breakfast," he said. After a moment, he repeated, "No, I am not hungry." After he hung up, Owen began interrogating Soptic about her job and the hotel. The first time he had ever really spoken to her. He asked her about how many rooms she was in charge of, what kind of people lived in the President Hotel, if any, and again complained about the price of the neighboring hotel. So how are you feeling so far about this? Do you have any questions?
Nope.
So
I'm ready.
There's a guy.
Yep.
Acting really weird.
Yep.
Lays in the dark.
Doesn't want to eat.
Doesn't want to eat.
Yep.
He's talking to Don. He talked to Don on the phone and he left Don a note.
Yeah. Don, I'm all set.
Yeah. I'm all set. And when he got back, the door was locked from the outside. So somebody had locked him in this room.
Locked him in. Don had locked him in.
He got locked into this room.
Like a gimp.
Right? Soptic answered quickly, finished cleaning, and left Owen alone in room 1046. Because remember, he was asking her about like her job and like the type of people in there and stuff like that. So she answered quickly, finished cleaning, and left Owen alone in the room. It was only after she left that she realized that since the door had been locked from the outside, someone had to have locked Owen in his room. Later that day, Soptic returned with fresh towels. They go through a lot of fucking towels. Right?
Yeah.
Later that day, Soptic returned with fresh towels, having taken the ones from the room that morning. However, as she knocked this time, she heard two voices in the room, rather than just Owen. When she announced that she had fresh towels, a loud, deep voice told her to leave, claiming they had enough towels. Do you want to give me a little radio play here? A loud, deep voice.
Leave. We've got enough towels.
Ooh. The one with the music, too. That was really good. Good job. Though she knew that she had removed all the towels from the room that morning, Soptic left the two men alone, not wishing to intrude on what was clearly a sensitive and private conversation.
There might be some lovemaking going on here.
Could be. That same afternoon, the President Hotel got two more guests whose presence would contribute greatly to the mystery of what happened to Roland T. Owen in room 1046. The first was Jean Owen, of no relation.
Jean.
She had come to Kansas City to meet her boyfriend for the day and decided that rather than drive all the way back to her hometown on the outskirts of the city, she would stay for the night in the hotel. Upon checking into the President Hotel, Jean Owen was given a key to room 1048, right next door to Roland. That night, according to police statements, she heard a repeated commotion.
Ooh.
I heard a lot of noise, which sounded like it was on the same floor, and consisted largely of men and women talking loudly and cursing, she said in her statement. When the noise continued, I was about to call the desk clerk, but decided not to.
Snitches get stitches.
Even in the 30s in Kansas City.
Yeah, oh, for sure. The mob was out there.
Sure. The other hotel guest was not quite a guest at all. The bellhop, who had been on duty that night, described her as a commercial woman who often frequented the rooms of the hotel's male patrons late at night.
Oh, a whore.
Yeah, what you call a Kansas City whore.
Okay.
On the evening of January 4th, they come with barbecue. On the evening...
Dry rub.
Yes, a nice dry rub. Hey, I didn't get my coleslaw.
Thank you.
On the evening of January 4th, she came into the hotel searching for a man in room 1026. However, despite being a very prompt customer, the woman couldn't seem to find the man she was looking for. Now, keep in mind that was 1026, not 1046.
Okay.
After searching for well over an hour on multiple floors, she gave up and went home. Both of the women's statements would raise more questions about the fate of the man in room 1046. The next morning, the bellhop received a call from the hotel's telephone operator. The phone in room 1046 had been off the hook for 10 minutes, without anyone using it. The bellhop went back to check on Owen and noticed that the door was locked with a Do Not Disturb sign hung on the doorknob.
Sure.
He knocked on the door.
Theater of the mind.
And Owen told him to come in. However, when the bellhop told Owen the door was locked, he got no response. The bellhop knocked once again, then yelled for Owen to hang up the phone.
Hang up the phone!
Assuming Owen had simply been drunk and knocked it off the hook.
Mm.
However, an hour and a half later, the telephone operator called the bellhop again. The room in 1046 was still off the hook and hadn't been hung up at all. This time, the bellhop let himself into Owen's room with the master key. The man was lying naked on the bed, seemingly drunk. Not wishing to deal with him, the bellhop simply straightened the phone, placed it back on the hook, and locked the door behind him, reporting Owen to his manager.
Yeah.
This guy's drunk. To his surprise, an hour later, the telephone operator called again. The phone was off the hook, though not in use. This time, when the bellhop opened the door, he found a bloodbath.
Oh.
Owen was sitting curled in the corner of the room, his head in his hands, suffering multiple stab wounds. The bedsheets and towels were stained in blood, and the walls were splattered with it.
What?
Yeah. So this bellhop had already gone up once, and he's like, this drunk asshole.
Yeah, he's naked.
He's naked in
bed.
I had
to hang up his phone.
Yeah, I had to hang up his phone. He's drunk, and this happens all the time at the motherfucking President Hotel. This bellhop has seen some shit.
Yeah, and some things.
So he wasn't worried about it. He's like, this motherfucker's drunk. There must have been a commercial woman here.
Sure. A woman of ill repute.
Yes. The bellhop immediately called the police, who took Owen straight to the hospital, where doctors discovered that Owen had been tortured viciously. His arms, legs, and neck had been restrained by some sort of cord, and his chest sustained multiple stab wounds. He also suffered a punctured lung and a fractured skull. Roland T. Owen was pronounced dead at the hospital shortly after arriving.
How long between the time that the bellhop went in the first time and the second time? What does it say?
It just said, an hour later.
An hour?
Yes.
Wow.
So when the man was... Okay, so however, an hour and a half... Okay, so here we go. It was the next morning, so this must be the 5th of January. The bellhop received a call from the hotel's telephone operator that it was off the hook for 10 minutes. Had been off the hook for 10 minutes without anyone using it. So he went upstairs and noticed that the door had a Do Not Disturb sign on it. He knocked on the door. Okay. Owen said, come in.
Okay.
But the bellhop told Owen that the door was locked, and he got no response.
Okay.
He knocked again and yelled for Owen to hang up the phone. So the bellhop's just like, hang up the phone! You know what I mean? Ooh. Good job. He, and then an hour and a half later...
Hang up the phone again.
Hang up the phone.
It's a big room.
It's a big hallway. And they, no carpeting either.
No.
Just echoing everything.
It's marble.
So an hour and a half later, the telephone operator called the bellhop again. Okay, so I'm just recapping.
Okay.
So it was an hour and a half later that all that shit.
Okay.
So
90 minutes.
In the morning, it had been off for 10 minutes. Hour and a half later, it's still off the hook. He goes upstairs, knocked on the door, nobody answered, so he let himself in. And that's when he found
Discovery.
Him. That's when he was naked on the bed.
Okay.
Seemingly drunk, not wishing to deal with him, the bellhop straightened the phone, placed it back on the hook, and locked the door behind him, reporting it to Owen's manager.
90 minutes.
Reporting Owen to his manager.
Sure.
And then it was an hour later that it was off the hook again, and then the bellhop went upstairs and found him.
So an hour between drunk Owen and tortured dead Owen.
Right.
It's not a lot of time.
Not a lot of time.
I don't get a lot done in an hour.
I already know the story, so I'm going to...
Okay. Yeah, please.
Because I want to say something, but I don't know if they'll cover it.
Okay.
The bellhop immediately called the police, took Owen's... Okay, yeah. So the doctors also discovered that the wounds on Owen had been inflicted well before... Here we go. The doctor also discovered that the wounds on Owen had been inflicted well before the bellhop's first trip to Owen's room that morning. They ascertained that he had attempted to call for help multiple times, but hadn't been able to make it further than just picking up the phone due to his injuries. When investigators searched the room...
Oh, he was all fucked up when the bellhop came
in.
Yeah,
dude, he was all fucked up. He was just dying. He was laying there dying, and the bellhop came into the room and was like, yo, man, hang up your fucking phone.
Yeah, I got this.
Sober up, but he's fucking sitting there bleeding out and dying. Had been tortured. When the investigators searched the room, the strangeness continued. There were no clothes in the room at all, and nothing matching the description of Roland Owen when he checked in. So they said he came in with a comb and some other shit, but the hotel amenities, such as soap and toothpaste, were also missing, as well as anything that could have been the murder weapon. The only thing of note that detectives found were four small fingerprints on the telephone stand, though they were never identified. Furthermore, detectives found that Roland T. Owen never existed. There was no record of any such man having lived anywhere in the United States, and they implored the public to come forward with any information they had about the mysterious murder victim. Shortly thereafter, the neighboring hotel that Owen had complained so much about came forward, claiming that a man matching the description had stayed at the hotel on January 1st. He had checked in under the name Eugene K. Scott. However, upon further investigation, the police reached the same dead end they had with Roland T. Owen. No man named Eugene K. Scott had any record of ever existing. It's that middle initial.
Yeah. Wow.
Over the next couple of months, various people identified the body as a loved one, though none of the identifications stuck. Finally, the case ran cold and the detectives decided to bury the body. As they arranged for a small funeral, a bouquet of flowers and a donation to cover the funeral costs showed up at the funeral home with a letter that read...
Stop!
With a letter that read only, "Love forever, Lucille." A year later, a woman named Ogletree claimed that Owen / Scott was her son who had been missing for years. She claimed his name was Artemis Ogletree.
Artemis.
And that he had been staying at another Kansas City area hotel at the time he went missing. Though there wasn't any more evidence to her case other than others than any of the others, police were eventually inclined to believe her, though experts claimed it was only based on a lack of evidence in the rest of the case. To this day, the case remains unsolved, opened yearly by Kansas police, and new pieces of evidence unfold. For the time being, however, it seems that the mystery of room 1046 may never truly be solved.
Son of a bitch.
Yes, sir.
Wow. I mean, it's scary in a way that's not...
Yeah. So this is from another site here. So emergency personnel arrived at the scene and found Owen had been bound at the neck, wrists, and ankles, and a appeared to have been tortured. He had a fractured skull and had been stabbed. Doctors on the scene concluded the injuries were 6 to 7 hours old. All of the clothes in the room were gone, and the only clues were an unlit cigarette and 4 fingerprints that were thought to have come from a woman. This says the thing said the flowers from Louise and not a Lucille, but...
What do you think happened?
Dude, I think he was involved in some shit. He was involved in some shit and was told... I think he might have been mixed up with some people. He might have owed some people some money, maybe. And they were like, you're going to pay us, and I'm going to make sure you stay in this fucking hotel room. You know what I mean? So that's why they might have locked him into it.
What website was that on?
All that's interesting.com. Just look for the murder in room 1046.
Could I share my allthat'sinteresting.com story too? And then we'll compare notes.
Yeah, why?
I want to talk about the unsolved mystery behind the disturbing death of Elisa Lamb.
I know this one, but I'd love to talk about it.
Would you?
I would.
Elisa Lamb was found dead in a water tank at the notorious Cecil Hotel in Los Angeles in 2013. To this day, nobody knows how she died or how the body got there. She died inside a water tank.
Okay. Yeah, how the fuck do you get into a water tank?
In 22-plus years of doing this job as a news reporter, this is one of those cases that kind of sticks with me because... We know the who, the what, the when, the where, but the why is always the question, said NBC LA reporter Lolita Lopez in reference to the mysterious death of Elisa Lamb. So I'm going to give you the cliff notes of this.
Mm-hmm.
Elisa Lamb was this young woman who disappeared. She was staying at this hotel in Los Angeles. And she, at some point, had disappeared, and her family had... reached out to try to find out where she was.
Yeah.
There's a record that she was staying at this hotel. She was 21 years old. She's a college student. The thing with her was that there was this hotel surveillance video that captured the bizarre final moments before her disappearance.
So, like, before she...
Yeah.
...ended up in this water tower.
Yeah. I'm gonna skip around here. All right, so the family reached out. Okay, January 26th, 2013, Elisa Lamb arrived in L.A. from Canada. She had just come by Amtrak train from San Diego, and was headed to Santa Cruz as part of her solo trip around the West Coast, the trip that was supposed to be a getaway from her studies at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver.
So totally normal.
She was just doing her thing.
College student.
Traveling.
I'm going to go up and down the West Coast.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, fucking cool.
By rail.
Yeah.
Hey, boys.
I can enjoy. All right, we know.
Her family had been weary of her traveling by herself, but the young student was determined to go at it alone. It was a compromise. She made sure to check in with her parents every day.
Like that's a good why, kid does.
Right, sure. And that's why it was weird.
I hadn't heard anything.
Right. All of a sudden, she stopped. Stop talking back. So,
what year was this again?
2013.
Okay. Recent.
Yeah.
Very recent.
Yeah. So she was scheduled to check out of her hotel January 31st, but she did not check out. So her parents contacted the police, and they soon released surveillance footage taken from the camera at the Cecil, or Cecil, depending on how you feel about that, hotel. On their website, this is where things took a turn into the truly bizarre. The hotel video shows Elisa Lamb in one of the elevators on the date of her disappearance, acting rather strangely. In the pixelated footage, Lamb can be seen stepping into the elevator, pushing all the floor buttons. She steps in and out of the elevator, poking her head out sideways towards the hotel's hallways in between. She peers out of the elevator another few times before stepping out of the elevator entirely. The last minute of the video shows Lamb standing by the left side of the door, moving her hands in random gestures. Nobody else was captured on the video except Lamb. Public reaction to the inexplicable video crossed all the way to Canada and China, where Lam's family is originally from. It's terrifying to watch the video.
Oh, it is.
Oh, there it is. You put it up.
I put it up, yeah. So she's in this
elevator. These are the last moments of this woman's life. She goes she goes into the corner by the buttons.
Over?
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, so
it's still only 2 minutes.
The video starts off with her going into the elevator.
Yep.
At the Cecil or Cecil Hotel.
She's pushing the buttons.
She's pushing several buttons.
Yep.
And backs into the opposite corner of the door.
Yep. Same side as the buttons.
Yep.
Yep.
And
the doors do not close.
The doors don't close.
Which is weird.
That's fucking weird.
So she peeks around. What's going on?
Quickly.
Yep. Then steps back. She's scared. The door's still open. Doesn't know why.
She's...
And then sneaks into the corner of the elevator with the buttons.
Yeah.
And is peering. The door's still open.
Doors are still open, man. And she keeps peeking out as if something. She's expecting something to come after her.
She's being chased. She's looking. Nothing's there. Takes one step out into the hallway. Looks left. Takes another step, quick step, into the hallway.
Which is weird.
Shuffles left. Shuffles left again. Steps back into the elevator. Back into the hallway. Shuffles left around the outside of the elevator. Now she's disappeared from the elevator camera.
Door's still not closing.
Still open. Weird, right?
Very weird.
How often do you see that?
Never. You never see that. Door's closed.
I see the corner of like her hoodie. It looks like she has her arms up. That looks like her elbow. So she has her arms
up.
She
has her
hands
up on her head. We can only see her elbow in this shot.
Nothing. Nothing. Oh, shuffled back in.
She's obviously clearly distraught.
Yep. Comes back in the elevator. She's hitting the buttons again.
All the buttons again.
Just get me out of here. The door's still wide open. Have never closed in the maybe minute we've been watching this video. Nothing. Looking for a close button, perhaps? Who knows? Still open.
Now she's frustrated.
Yep. Walks out of the elevator again. Steps to the left side. Looks right up the elevator.
This is when it gets weird.
Now she's gesturing with her hands. I literally have goosebumps right now. Gesturing with her hands.
How have her hands been like that?
Weird.
That's always... Yeah.
Looks like she's...
She almost looks like she's conducting an orchestra with her hands. But she's like... She clearly is anxious. Like those look like some sort of like stress relief techniques. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? Where you like create tension.
Sure.
In your hands and stuff. And that's it. And she walks away.
And it's gone.
And then she fucking walks away.
Gets discovered inside a water tower. Did I tell you how she was discovered in the water tower, sir?
No, you did not.
Because residents at the hotel complained about a funny taste in their drinking water.
That's not fucking good.
And when they went to
investigate
the tower where the drinking water comes from and is purified, they found a rotting corpse of one Elisa Lam.
Yep.
Here it is. On February 19th, 2 weeks after the video was published by authorities, maintenance workers in Santiago Lopez found Elisa Lam's
dead body.
February
19th. She was supposed to check out on the 31st?
Two and a half weeks later.
Yeah.
Found her dead body floating in one of the hotel water tanks. They made the discovery after responding to complaints from the hotel patrons about low water pressure and a weird taste coming from the tap water. According to a statement by the chief of Los Angeles Fire Department, the tank in which Lam's body was found had to be drained completely and then cut open from the side to remove her 5'4" frame.
So how did it... That's on top of that shit.
Right.
Like,
How'd she get in there? Nobody knows how Lam's corpse floating lifelessly next to the same clothes she wore in the surveillance video.
Well, she wasn't even wearing the clothes.
Naked. Ended up in the hotel's water tank, or who else might have had been involved?
There's no way to know.
No.
How would you?
At least one person did see Lam soon before her death. At a nearby shop, eerily named The Last Bookstore, owner Kate Orphan was amongst the last to see Elisa Lam alive. Orphan remembered the college student buying books and music for her family back in Vancouver. It seemed like she had plans to return home, plans to give things to her family members and reconnect with them, Orphan told CBS LA. When the autopsy results for Lam's case came out, it only served to ignite more questions. The toxicology report confirmed that Lam had consumed a number of medical drugs. Likely...
A number.
to be medication for her bipolar disorder, but there were no indications of alcohol or illegal substances in her body. Soon after toxicology reports came out, amateur sleuths began poring over any information they could find in hopes of solving the mystery behind the death of Elisa Lamb. For example, one summary of Lamb's toxicology report was posted online by Reddit. The breakdown pointed to three key observations. One, Lamb took at least one antidepressant that day. Two, she had taken her second antidepressant and mood stabilizer recently, but not that day. And three, she had not taken her antipsychotic recently. So these conclusions suggested that Lamb...
Okay, so this girl has issues.
Right, but they suggested that she had been diagnosed with... they suggested that she may not have been taking her meds properly. But an important thing... An important finding to note, given the use of antidepressants to treat bipolar disorder can reduce manic side effects if done with some caution, blah, blah, blah. Elisa Lamb been suffering from mental health issues. How did she end up dead? Furthermore, how did she end up in the hotel's water tank? The autopsy did not show any foul play from the evidence that was processed. But the coroner's office had noted that they were unable to do a full examination because they couldn't examine the blood from her decomposing body. So on top of all of this,
there's nothing to look into. There's nothing to investigate because she was soaking in water for 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
I noticed the hatch of the main water tank was open and looked inside and saw an Asian woman lying face up.
Oh, could you imagine being that fucking person?
In the water, approximately 12 inches from the top of the tank, Lopez said. The hotel's chief engineer, Pedro Tovar, also made it clear that it would be difficult for anyone to access the rooftop where the hotel water tanks were located.
Is it possible? Not to interject. Is it possible that she was trying to get to the roof in the elevator? I like a good spooky story, but I'm trying to be, like, realistic here. You know what I'm saying?
The hotel has, since opening the doors in 1927, the Cecil Hotel has been plagued by 16 different non-natural deaths from unexplained paranormal events. The most famous...
How many? 16?
16. The most famous death associated with the hotel, other than Lamb's, the 1947 murder of actress Elizabeth Short, a.k.a. the Black Dahlia, who was reportedly seen drinking at the hotel bar in the days before her grisly demise.
You mean to tell me the first person murdered in the Black Dahlia, like the same Black Dahlia, like the Black Dahlia? Like the same person... Was it the same fucking hotel? I mean, there's only so many hotels in the world, but fuck, man.
The hotel also hosted some of the country's most notorious serial killers. In 1985, Richard Ramirez, also known as the Night Stalker, lived on the top floor of the hotel.
Shut the fuck up.
During his monstrous killing spree. The story goes that after a murder, Ramirez would dump his bloody clothes outside the hotel and return half naked. Back then, the hotel was in such disarray that Ramirez's nude stunt barely raised an eyebrow. 6 years later, another murderous patron moved into the hotel. Australian serial killer Jack Unterweger, who earned the nickname the Vienna Strangler. With such a macabre history, one would think that the Cecil Hotel would soon be condemned. But actually, the old building was recently granted landmark status by the
of course,
Los Angeles
because
City Council.
Fucking Southern California loves them a serial killer, man. How the fuck did she get up there? That's the thing, man. Like, part of me wants to believe that she was, like, she clearly had issues. Like, I think she wanted to die. You know what I mean? Like, I'm wondering if she wanted to commit suicide. And the reason the elevator doors weren't closing is because there's, like, a button for the roof on the elevator, but maybe you need, like, a key. You know what I mean? I don't know. They're not giving all this information. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
Like, I'm trying, but at the same time, it scares the shit out of me because that video is someone in peril.
It is.
Regardless of what she was experiencing was real, it was or not, it was real to her. And that's what fucking terrifies me.
She is in it in that moment in a way that we only
will never, hopefully,
you
never have to experience whatever hell she was going through in that moment.
We only, like, postulate that, and it's fun to be scared a little bit, you know? But in that moment, that poor girl was looking down that hall and speaking
terrified to
something that inevitably... And who's to say that thing that she was talking to didn't kill her? Even if it was her.
Even if it was her, herself. Something in her head.
Something had stalked her.
Mm-hmm.
And killed some apex predator in her brain.
In her mind, either in her mind or
found her,
possibly in real life. Who knows?
Had it found her and killed her.
Found her and fucking.
And this was the reason she died. Getting stuffed in a water tank. Can you imagine being a patron at the hotel brushing your teeth with her body?
Nope. I don't want to hear that,
dude. That would be a lawsuit.
Light just came on.
The security guard just turned the light on.
Yeah, he's totally gonna come open the door too. Yeah,
probably. What these queers doing?
Yeah. Hey man. Halloween is I have a love hate relationship with Halloween. And
I know
because
you're scared.
Because I'm a bitch. I can't. Wow. But at the same time, it's so fucking compelling to listen to this shit. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck happened with this guy? You know what I mean?
I know.
I had read another version of this story.
I'm worried about Don. Who is Don?
Who the fuck is Don, right?
This music is a little bit like Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh. I'm surprised we didn't even think of that to this point.
You know what's really funny?
What's that?
Tonight, I'm totally alone in my house.
Oh, no. I feel sorry for you
It's the fourth year in a row that my family leaves. Like, the girls go on a sleepover, like a mother-daughter sleepover.
Sure.
With friends of ours. And it always happens on this weekend. And every year, we do this.
We do this shit.
And then I go home and, like...
You go home alone.
Fuck, yeah. It happens every year.
Well, I'm sorry to have to do that to you.
Jesus. Can I turn the scary music off?
Tonight.
I don't solve mysteries.
The mystery of an Alabama man found dead 83 years ago today.
Yeah. His rectum and, full of semen.
Since he's an old fucking white guy.
An Oriental found in a water tower.
Nice, nice.
Nice. That's exactly how he would say it. I'm going to turn off this scary movie.
Hey, man. This is, what is this, 197?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a good one.
Yeah.
197. We're coming up quick on 200, and then we're going to be fucking getting into the premiere.
Oh, my God.
Of Middletown, the movie.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Sorry.
That's an abrupt...
Well, nobody heard that. We'll just turn that down. Okay.
And, hey, let's wrap this up. We're going to throw a plug in for the...
it's 109-108, New York Knicks, over the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, there's 24 seconds.
Seconds.
That's what I'm getting
Let's
at
hang
here.
Out. Let's
fucking
oh.
Kyrie. Fuck, man.
No, it's okay. They got a shot clock left.
I know, dude, but this is that shit. They were up four.
I know.
Three or four, and they had fucking a travel call. I was watching it the whole time we were talking about the scary shit.
What an abrupt change.
I know.
It's like scary. In the fucking,
everything is
tonight,
scary.
Shit, they're a Kyrie.
Kyrie Irving. The New York Knicks. The New York Knickerbockers.
Yeah. Yeah. Kyrie.
RJ Barrett.
Kyrie's a murderer.
Well, he's a murderer. He's fucked about
RJ did put a hand up in his face. Like,
sure.
But
not, I don't think
do
RJ
shit.
Did bad. It wasn't bad defense.
Shit about that.
It was good defense.
Yeah. Now that was horrible defense.
And,
nice job, Kevin Knox.
I do love that court. If I'm not if I'm
nice.
Being honest, the Nets have a sweet
it's ashy
court.
But okay.
Sure. But
I dislike Kyrie so much, Sean.
You could have been doing this in New York.
Could have, well he is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck off.
Fuck,
look, Kevin
man.
Durant. You know who I hate more than Kyrie Irving?
Kevin Durant.
Oh.
Kevin Durant can suck a dick.
Oh, I hate him so much.
Yeah.
I cannot wait until his ailing ass gets fixed and comes back to life and comes to MSG. I cannot wait.
Yeah, man.
I feel like it's going to be like John Rocker night at Yankee Stadium when it was battery night and people just start chucking shit at him.
Right.
Like, fuck you, both of you, front runner, ring chasing, fucking second banana, Ed McMahon's of the NBA.
Going to Brooklyn was the cop out. Because if you go to Brooklyn, you're still like, hey, I'm bringing a championship to New York if you win one. But then if you don't, you're like, well, yeah, nobody gives a shit. It's Brooklyn.
No, it was, I am not good enough to do this on my own, and I need a friend. I need a buddy, and I'm nervous, and I don't want to go and take a chance, so I'm going to go and find
Eric, shut
another
up. Shut up.
16 seconds.
Oh, no. What are you doing? Oh, we're playing for overtime. Oh,
that's out, Knicks. Yeah.
They're gonna.
No, that's a Nets ball.
They're going to replay that. Well, they called it Knicks ball.
That's a Nets.
I think it went off Randall's foot. Randall's, he knows it, man.
Well, yeah, of course.
Fuck.
Hang on. Wait, let's see what happens here. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Oh. Went off his knee.
I don't know who kicked it, though.
Nobody's listening anymore.
Oh yeah. Fuck. That's Nets ball. Game over.
Game's done. Well, nice job, Mason.
Yeah, way to go. You fucking blew it.
Great job, guys. Great job, boys.
Mm-hmm. Hey, really? Thanks for letting us commentate the last 2 minutes of the NBA game, as well as tell you two creepy stories that on this All Hallows Week.
All Hallows Week. Devil's Night, as they call it, sir.
That's what they do.
Devil's Night, yes.
Hey.
Hey, Sean.
Thank you for being a friend.
Hey, listen to me.
Yeah.
I appreciate you.
Uh-huh.
MiddletownMovie.com.
Yes. Okay. Was it good for you, Jay?
Sean?
Yeah.
I'm not even done yet.
All right, let's get to it.